Welcome to the Liberty Church podcast. We pray that as you listen to one of our amazing team bring the word of God, you are encouraged and challenged and that your faith is stirred. To get in touch or for more information about us as a church, head to libertychurchuk.com.
How many of you are refreshed? Wow. Wow. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for the privilege of life. We thank you because we get to do this. We thank you because we are your own. We came out of you, not accidentally, but intentionally. Before you formed us, you knew us. You planned us. And you brought us into this life. Not to be struggling. Not to be running helter-skelter. Finding safety and comfort. But you provided everything. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Are you excited, church? See, the best days of the church is now. The best days of the church is now. Where darkness is having field day somewhere, the light of the world must be rejoicing. We are not part of this dark world. We are here to give this dark world light. We are not the hopeless. We are the hopeful. We are here to give the world hope. When the world are grooming in darkness or grouping in darkness, whatever the English word may be, I'm not English, I'm a Ghanaian, but I try to speak English. Whatever it is, I'm doing well. See, it's our chief elder. No, just joking. It's part of it, you know. Life is not about seriousness, you know. Just have some smile on your face. Yeah, come on. Amen. All this seriousness. Why are you going with this seriousness? I like your smile, Dan. Look at Dan's smile. Amen. Are we together, Althea? You're waiting for me to say something, but God is talking to somebody here. That's why I'm quiet. God is speaking to you, and I want you to take note of what you are hearing God speak to you now. So when we come together like this, we don't have to miss out of the opportunity. We don't have to miss out of the moment when God is doing his own thing. So God is here with us. Where two or three are gathered, I am there with them. So we don't pray, God come, because he has already promised, I am here with you. Our own is to just God link to what he has said and receive from him. So God, who created the heavens and the earth, is here with us. Is he speaking to you? Amen. Occupy your space. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 16 to 17. I hope you brought your Bibles because this is church. Pick your Bible. If it's on your phone, pick it up. We're going to go scripture upon scripture, and this is the place we get to open our Bibles. I don't know if you've heard me share this story about my mom. She never opens a Bible. I hope she's watching me. Forgive me, Mom. But she never opens a Bible. She put her Bible on the shelf. She only pick her Bible on Sundays when she's going to church. And one day, she picked the Bible, and the preacher said, open this scripture. And then she was trying to open it. And it was full of ants. And then she closed it like that. And the aunt just fell all on the floor. She was a bit ashamed. I said, Mom, I'm very happy it happened in church. Because if you are not willing to open your Bible to study, aunts are ready to open the Bible and read. Some of us don't open the Bible until we come to church. Well, that is not good, is it? Because the Bible is for our reading and our studying. When I was in Denmark in the Bible school, there was a guy, a lecturer that came from Romania. He's not a Romanian, but he went to Romania, some part of Romania, and he said, Kobe, when I went there, there are some that will bring their notebook to write the whole Bible in their notebook. Why? Because they don't have access to the Bible. I don't know how many Bibles I have on my shelves. I don't know how many Bibles you have, but there are other people that don't have access to the Bible. They are writing it, Genesis to Revelation, on note, paper, writing it. So if you have a privilege to have a Bible, read it. Study it. Because that is what where life is. Let's read. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit himself, so we have a confirmation of who we are. The Spirit himself bear witness, confirms with our spirit that we are children of God. That we are not just anybody else, we are of God. We are kids of God. You are not just a mere person, you are a child of God. For you to be a child of God brings a distinctive honor on you or a separation on you. That you are not like any other person. That I am a child of God. You are a child of God. Do you understand that the meaning of being a child of God? If I said I am a child of the president or the prime minister, you know that I am not just anybody else. That the child of the president, when he or she is going out, has an entourage or people to guide that child. Why? Because of where he or she is coming from. So if the scripture is saying you are a child of God, and God is the one who created the heavens and the earth, you have to know that you are not just a mere person. You have to know that you are so special. There is something about you that maybe you yourself, you don't know, other people don't know. But when you grasp that you are a child of God, things that happen to other people are not supposed to happen to you. Why? Because I am a child of God. Things that happen to any mere person might not be happening to the son of the president or the prime minister or whoever is the highest in your thinking. Why? Because of where they are coming from. When you are coming from a royalty, there is a special honor on you from the royal family. Am I making sense, church? It is time for us to know who we are. He says, the Spirit bears witness, the word bear confirms that we are children of God. We are the offspring of God. We came out of God intentional. And if children, then heirs. Heirs, inheritors. So you are not just a child of God, you are a child of God with inheritance. You are a child with inheritance. When When you are a father or a mother, a parent, and you have an inheritance for your kids, it's different from God giving you an inheritance. Am I making sense? See, the inheritance God has for you, it's so large because it's coming from His perspective. It's coming from His wealth. It's coming from who He is. So if nobody can challenge my God, the inheritance you have cannot be challenged. Do you know the inheritance you got, child of God? Or are you walking just here and there, knowing you were a child of God, just like that? No. Of course, you can be a Christian, a bona fide child of the kingdom, and not know your inheritance. I've seen that. I've been in this faith for at least 20 years, and I've seen that. That they just come to church and go meet them, and they don't really know the inheritance they have. The word heir in the Greek is kleronomos. I'm not a Greek again. I'm trying. In the messianic sense, it means one who receives his or her allotted possession by right of sonship. So for me to be a child of God, I have a possession by right of my sonship in him. Oh my goodness. You have been allotted a possession because you are a child of the Most High. Allotted possession. And I'm saying again that what God gives is far more than what man can give because of who He is. So your possession, your inheritance is heavy. It's large. So for any believer in Christ to be having inferiority complex and be saying, who am I? And not know who he is, it's a slap on redemption. It's like the son or a kid of the prime minister walking around naked saying, I don't have food to eat. It's a slap on that family. It's a disgrace on that family. With all the inheritance, with all that the prime minister has, or the president, I want to get a higher person, but I don't know if you know it, but that is high. It's the president, is it, or who? The queen, yes, thank you. The queen, the royal family. Coming from the royal family and go begging for food, go begging for dress, or go begging for something, it's a slap on that royal family. Am I right? I believe, church, it's time for us to wake up. Grab hold on our inheritance. Make it happen for the dark world. Because they need us. God is not coming down again through Jesus. He has finished. He has put in you in this space to occupy with his light. So that those that are hope will get hope. Those that are hopeless will receive hope. So we are heirs, heirs of the kingdom, and joint heirs with Christ, so identical with Christ. We are joint heirs with Christ. So what belongs to Christ, my elder brother, belongs to me. When he speaks and things happen, when I speak, things must happen, because the same inheritance I have. Let me share with you, as of what? Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Your Bible's with you. It says, worthy is the Lamb who has been slain or who was slain to receive power. I'm dealing with what are the heirs the inheritance, the possession we have. Revelation 5, 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. This is what we share with Jesus. This is our inheritance, our allotted possession. Power, riches, blessings, honor, name them. God is seated in heaven wanting to see this find full expression on us to the world. God. God. He is wanting to see my son. Sons or daughters, are they utilizing their allotted possession that I gave them? There was this story that I heard that this guy bought a flight, paid a flight ticket, entered into the flight or the plane, and then there was food, you know, they were serving food and everything. And they come to this guy and said, do you want anything? No. Do you want anything? No. Do you want anything? No. And then the guy that was seated, and this guy that was seated close to him, what's everything? Yes, I want this. Oh, give me that. Oh, give me that. And the guy said, are you okay? Are you not hungry? This is a long flight. He said, no, I didn't pay for that. And then the guy said, no, but you are in the flight, but you've paid for it. That means you've paid for it. It's all inclusive. You've paid for it. Yeah, I said, is that true? Is that true? Can hear my African accent now. Is that true? Is that true that it's all part of it? He started calling. Do you know the package of salvation? Do you know the package of salvation? I was sharing with Heath, when was that, Wednesday, that God said to me, there are still, this is not an English word, because when I heard it, I was trying to figure it out. I didn't find it, so don't try to be smarter. And say, oh, it's not English. I know. I'm joking, right? Put seriousness aside. So God said to me, there are still on dark depths in me. On dark. Do you understand? That English people, let's try. There are still depths in me that is not dark. Like, there are still dark. I told you. There are still places in me that needs to be dark. Huh. Why? I was looking at ministers and see how far, like those God has used so powerfully. And God said, no, it's not finished yet. There are more in me, son. The package we have as believers in Christ, church, is mind-blowing. Do you know the guy in the plane will have gone hungry so the flight will have landed if he had not been told? There's a scripture that says that there will be gnashing, there will be crying and gnashing of teeth in the time when Jesus appears. It's not because those who don't know Christ, I think, it's those who were Christians, and when they found out that, hey, this is what Jesus died for me, they'll be sharing tears. They'll be gnashing their teeth and say, oh, and I've lived this whole sickly, beggarly life. And they will be crying in the last day. Because a lot are not really digging deep. They are just on the surface and complaining, why me? Hey, why not you? Why not you? Why me, oh God? God is seated there and said, why not you, son or daughter? Because it is only you who can overcome this. There is no temptation that has been overtaking you, but that such as is common to man. So why me is not part of the equation. Bring it on. I'm equipped, strengthening to handle it. The scripture says that, and Jesus grew. So with all the inheritance, if you are not growing, you can't access it. I can give, go to the picture, Athea, if it's there, please. I can give all that I have to my kid, but he cannot use it until he grows. Because I can give him all my bank details or money I have, it will kill him. But when he grows, he can utilize it. We have been called onto a growing journey. The Lord said to me, monitor your growth this year. Track your growth. Because when you don't monitor your growth and you don't seek to grow in the kingdom, you cannot enjoy the inheritance. You cannot enjoy your allotted possession. You can still be a Christian. Lazarus was, but what happened? He was not able to access that which was given to him, the rich man and Lazarus. That's what I'm talking about. So it is nice seeing this kid there. Nice. Beautiful. Beautiful. But you see, if this one is going to stay there all the time, it becomes a burden on us. Now he's beautiful. Oh. 2 years, 3 years, if this kid is still on that ground, it's a concern. Why? Because I'm expecting him to grow up and start to walk and start to kick the football, not his hands or whatever. But if he's not growing, then it becomes a concern to the family and a concern to society. You are not saved to be a concern to your society. You are saved to be a light to your society. You are saved to be an asset, not a liability to your society and your family. He can be a liability to us if he don't grow. Naturally, he must. But if not, then I think, no, there is something wrong here. We need to check it. And Jesus grew. It was not an accidental growth. It was intentional. Jesus gave himself to growth that he can affect his world. Even though you will say he is a son of God, he came from heaven. So are you. You also came from God. He that is born of God, overcomes. So Jesus gave himself intentional growth, monitoring his growth in Christ, in the Lord, so that he can maximizely affect his generation. He knows it's not just going to happen. No. He grew. How? His parents were looking for him, and he was busy engaging his mind with the scholars. Busy. Engaging his mind. Because his spirit was perfect. I'll come there. But for his mind to agree with his spirit, there must be some renewal. Galatians chapter 3. Are we together? Galatians chapter 3. I will just jump to 4 verse 1 because of time. Now, I say that the heir, who is the heir? The heir, what is the Greek word for heir? I said it, yeah? Now, I don't know if you are listening. Clara nomos. And it means what? Heir, yeah, that's it. Someone who, by right, has been allotted possession. He says, now I say that the heir, the person who has been allotted possession by God, not by man, so there's a difference there. As long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave. Wow. So it does not matter your possession in Christ. If you don't grow in him, you are seen as a slave. Very harsh. I didn't write that. Paul wrote it by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Talking to the Galatian church. That, hey guys, you have an inheritance. But see, if you don't grow, you will be like the slaves. The heir, you and I, as long as we remain kids, we will not enjoy the inheritance we've received. How well are you growing? Talking about intentional growth. My responsibility is not to ask you how well you are growing in your business, in your family, whatever. We are called to build you in this book. When God comes or Jesus arrives, he will ask me, how well were you building the sheep in my way? When Paul went to Church of Corinth, he says, I don't want to hear anything about what is happening, but to know of Christ and him crucified. I don't want to see how you are thriving in your business, with your family, with your finances. I care less about that. How are you built up in Christ? Because when you are built up in Christ, it will affect your family. It will affect your finances. It will affect every area of your life because everything is here. There is nothing in this life that is not giving direction and wisdom from this book. So for anybody to be running helter-skelter and not giving attention to this book, you will come back to it. You will come back to it. I had a friend, for the sake of confidentiality, I won't mention name. Very wealthy person. Always here and there, doing business. You will see him. You see him in church. See him in prayer meeting. See him teaching meeting. All the meeting we had. You will see him anywhere. Oh, are you not coming to church? No, I'm very busy. You know, I have to travel this. I have to do this. Family life, I have to do this. I need money. This guy's very rich. And then he was struck with stroke. And then he came to Christ. He came to every meeting in church. He was there. I said, you don't need to go through that challenge before you seek God. Seek ye first the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. And all other things will be added. Am I saying business and all those stuff are not good? They are good in their proper context and place. The heir, as long as he is a slave, does not differ. As long as he is a kid, does not differ from a slave if he don't grow. How am I growing? in the Lord? How is my progress in the Lord? I don't know where I'm going, but I'm coming. I'm going and coming. What is this? An apple. It's a green apple, yes. You know, in this apple, it is very easy for anybody to count the seed in this apple. Three of us. Oh, talk to me. Julian. True. Yes. Very easy. But do you know, it is not easy. Imagination. I'm holding a seed. Imagination. The truth is that I did everything, and then I forgot the seed at home. So that's how you have when kids are everywhere in the morning. So I have seed. Just imagine it. Very easy to count the seed in this apple. It is very difficult to count the fruit in this seed. I can just count. I cut it open. It's only two there. And I count, it's only two. But the seed in the seed is what? Fruits. When the seed is planted, growth coming in, it comes out with fruits. The Bible says the word of God is a seed. Your heart is the ground. When that seed is sown in your heart, the inheritance in you break loose. Because your heart is already fertile. Your heart is the perfect heart. That is your spirit. There's no mistake in your spirit. You are so righteous in your spirit, so identical with Jesus in your spirit. There is no, your heart is so settled. When the seed of the word is planted intentionally in your heart, in any area, you master that area. I can be holding the seed and be dancing around the seed and be saying, I have seed. But that seed won't do me anything until it's planted. The word of God can't do much until you plant that word in that fertile heart of you. That is where you can master the inheritance God has given to you, church. Thou said to me, stop struggling, start growing. I know it's harsh. Stop struggling, start growing. Because when you start growing, some struggling will end. Stop the complaining, start growing. The word is the seed, the earth is your heart. 1 Peter 1:23 says that being born not of incorruptible seed, but the word of God, being born again by incorruptible seed, which is the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is incorruptible. Where is the word in your heart, church? Let's go to Luke, and I'll close down with that place. Luke chapter 8, 11 to 15. Are we together, church? Luke chapter 8, 11 to 15. This is talking about the sower. Do you know this parable has nothing to do with farming? The parable of the sower. It has nothing to do with farming. God is not giving you farming skills. No. That is not the meaning of this parable. This parable is telling us how jealously we should guard the word of God. That is the whole essence of this parable. Because your heart is already fertile and sound, He wants you to put in the word there and jealously guard the word. For out of your heart flows rivers. Out of your heart, out of your spirit. But it will never flow until you sow that seed. And then you see life, the Zoe, coming out. I don't know about you, but I want to see this book so alive in me. That when you see me, you've read the Bible. It's a challenge on me, but God has given us the grace. If some were living epistles, we are not exempted. When I see you, Katie, I must see the Bible in red. Living epistle. They saw the disciples going and said, wow, these people have been with Jesus. So you can really monitor your growth this year. At the end of the middle of first quarter, check your life. Have I grown in my walk with the Lord? Can I hear from God? I know people are struggling to hear from God, but they have not made an intentional effort to learn how to hear from God. And it's a struggle for them. How long will you be in this struggle and not just settle down and say, Lord, teach me? How can I hear you speak to me? Not only in church, but in my business, in my community, in my family. It has to. What are you saying, Lord? My sheep, they hear my voice. Are you one of them? Can you hear him? If you can't hear him, go on a journey with him. That will be growth. In that area. Every business seeks for progress. If they are not progressing, they settle down with the staff. Why are we not progressing? Why are we not growing as a business? You've been called into the business of God. God wants you to grow. Jesus grew. Very intentional. Not by chance. What scripture did I say? Luke 8, 11 to 15. I'll do it quick. Now, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are ones who hear the word of the Lord, and the devil comes and takes away the word out of their heart, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no roots, who believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. They receive the word with joy. I believe in my heart something is happening with you now as I'm preaching or teaching. There's some joy, there's something happening. But if you settle it only here and not take it home and work on it, you are like that. You'll receive it with joy. Tomorrow, 1 year, 3 years, everything is gone. I told you that when I finish preaching with all humility, I love it when you come and say, that was a good message. But come to me after 1 year and tell me that was a good message. I don't know if I'm able to mention you, Emma, but she came to me and said, 1 year ago you said this, and it's still working in me. Thank you. Say, yes, thank you. It's not only shouting and jumping around the world for now, but still coming 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, jealously guarding the word of God and growing in the word. I'm tired of church that just dance and shout for 1 day, 1 week, 3 weeks, 1 year, 5 years, and then see them again and they are falling away. It is not the devil. It is you. It is you. It is you. It is me. If I fall away from the faith today, it is no devil. It is no one. It is me. But the devil don't have any power over me to make me go away. And God will not make me go away. So it's who? I How are we doing with time, Gaza? You did hear what the elder said? Good, so I can continue for another hour. Amen. There's a place that struck me, and I just want to read it, and I'll close it there. Verse 14. Okay. Now, ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they hear the word, they hear and they've heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to growth, to maturity. See what it says? The cares of this life. He's not talking about evil things. The cares of this life. Parenting, work, give me cares of this life. What are the cares of this life? Health, finances, business, jobs, friendship, relationship, they are all good in their proper place and context. Very good. But you see, these are the same things that choke the word out of the person. Because I am busy with business, I am busy parent, I'm busy going here and there. I have not given quality time to study the word for growth. I have to take care of my kids. They are very good. It can choke the word. It can make you think, I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to study the Bible because of all this. Listen, if all this can make you not to study the word, it's your enemy. It's your enemy. Anything that can dissuade you from concentrating on God's word to study is a big enemy, even though they are good. Hear me right. Also on Facebook, I'm not saying parenting, family, business, they are not saying they are not good. They are in their proper place. I know, personally, during the day, it's very difficult for me to study the scriptures and give time for the word. I know. Because of work, because of family. So I wake up very early when they are all snoring in bed. One day at dinner, because when I was going out, she woke up. It was around 4 o'clock. She goes, where are you going again? I know I can't handle those busy times. So I make time early morning and settle that growth area. Why? What am I saying? I'm not perfect. Well, you are also not. But find what works for you. In this busyness of life, find what works for you and give time for your God. Because after all said and done, you will come back to God. I'm telling you. You will. Because those things will not give you fulfillment. Have you not seen a parent who is tired of parenting? Hey, hallelujah. Growth demands patience and process, but one must yield to it. Let's pray. I put a challenge to us and to myself. The world there needs you, but they don't need you as a child. They need you as a grown-up who can help them. The heir, as long as he is a child, differeth not from a slave, even though he is a master of all. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you because we are growing in your word. You want to be on your feet with me, church, please. And you want to pray for yourself. Pray you are growing in the word. The word is growing in you. You see by the Spirit. You speak by the Spirit. Your Christian life is so sound. Busyness of life cannot take away that which God wants you to get into. When I'm grown in the Lord, nothing can push me away. First of all, my foundation should be strong. We came out of God. We were born by the word. We can grow only by the word. Nothing can grow you but by the word as a believer in Christ. So pray for yourself in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give you praise, Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Pray for yourself, church. Pray for yourself. The good news is that we have everything. God has given us everything. We're not praying for God to do anything, but you are praying to yield yourself to this growth process. In Jesus' name, we give you praise.